Morning, everybody. I don't know how many of you came to the prayer stations in the hut. Just want to emphasize something here, really. Unless the Lord does something, Scripture talks about we labor in vain. It's absolutely a waste of time doing anything. So can I encourage you to carry on praying for 111, one person at four. We're praying in faith that God will transform that life. This evening, again, we're going to be praying together, and we're going to be asking God to come and do something which only He can do. And this morning, I'm praying that you're going to have open hearts, open ears, to hear what God is going to say. But before then, Nathan, come and join me, Nathan. Do people call you Nathan? Oh, that's okay then. Is that right? So I short everybody's name. Apart from... How do you short Joy? Do you know what I mean? It's impossible. Nathan, some people know you really well. Can you just... share something about... how you became a Christian, where you became a Christian, how long ago, what led up to that?
Yeah, so I gave my life to the Lord when I was another one, if that's better. Okay, yeah, when I gave my life to the Lord when I was 21. The journey to that point took 21 years, obviously, but it started probably. Well, I would say I was very much spoken to by the Lord when I was 14. I can specifically put a point in my life then. When I first really knew the Lord speaking to me, but as I stand here and tell you now, it upsets me purely because I know from that point how far I wandered from the Lord speaking to me back then, and really showing His love to me and challenging me with where I was. Things happened in my life that drew me away from His love for me. And sadly, I gave over to my self-will, what I wanted, which involved very early in life getting stuck into alcohol and the culture that goes with that for quite a while. And I wandered from the Lord, but I believed that God was there and He existed, but I didn't follow through on that love that I had seen and experienced. I didn't explore more and seek Him at that point. I was challenged, but not. I didn't invite Him in.
Yep.
And it took, quite a few years, but then of wandering and searching and not really knowing, felt empty and lost. And after many years, I knew I needed to get back to church. I knew I needed to know what God was wanting to do and say to me, and I knew that this hunger and a loss and emptiness. And at 21, the Lord broke me down. And I can remember just weeping and being in tears at how far I'd wandered from Him from that point to the point that, I confessed and just, was broken before Him and, gave my life to Him.
Can you just tell us what you do for work and what are the pressures you're feeling with that at the moment or have done?
I work in construction, started off-site labouring and moved up. I'm now the head of construction for a small house builder locally. There's a lot of pressure that goes on. I look after a team trying to deliver units on every site to a programme safely within a budget and to deliver so that we can keep the business running. So there's a lot required to chase them through and make sure things are happening and support them in doing that. My phone starts ringing at about 7:30, and I normally, or earlier. Yes, Christine looks at me.
So we do want honesty this morning. Yeah. So Christine, what time does the phone start? 6:30, okay. What time do you finish work?
That varies.
Looking now. Is that okay?
It's changed, and we'll get on. It has changed. I have had periods where I've gone into holiday and finished at 3 o'clock in the morning to enable me to have enough peace of mind that I've cleared the work out that I can then go and enjoy the holiday. That has changed with the new position and company that I work for. Where I was before was a PLC, very, very aggressive in their style, perhaps chasing things through.
So I think the last question I've got may help with that transition bit, really, for you to explain a bit. What steps have you taken to get a better work-life balance?
I've got someone that helps me with that rather a lot. there is definitely... There's a couple of things. There is a point where I have to get to an evening and I switch off and stop looking at emails. I'll go out for the day and not get a chance to look at them and come back to 100 plus emails. That can be quite... It lays on your mind because you've got all this stuff you've got to get through before you go into another day, but it's always going to be there. So I've got to just stop at that point and be present. You know, I have a wife and 4 children and I disappear and I'm not very contactable through the day for the most part. Come home and then if I'm sat looking at emails or dealing with phone calls and things, I'm not fulfilling the other roles that I'm called to fulfill. So there's a big challenge to switch off at that point. That's not to say if perhaps Christine goes out and I get the kids down that I don't then log in and do some work in the evening, but I very much try not to. We have a very strict no work at all on a Sunday. So today there will be no interaction with it regardless. And that falls into other areas as well as we're doing work on a house at the moment. We don't touch that. That's Sunday, we set that aside. So there's making that space that we do stop. I stop from the oppression of work and I'm present. It's not just an oppression. I do enjoy a lot of what I do. But those are the key things. And finding opportunities to get some downtime in amongst what I do. I'm fortunate now that I get to travel around a little bit. So there is glimpses where I don't get phone signal, which is wonderful. I can't make phone calls where I can then just listen to, whether it's a sermon, a podcast, or quite often we'll be singing in the car to some worship track or another, which could be embarrassing if people saw me doing it, but hey, I enjoy it.
I just want to say thank you to Nathan because he's been really, really honest with us this morning. Thanks, Nathan. Thank you. In preparing this series, there's a book that I've been reading and there's a podcast that I've been following, which I found helpful. I don't know how many of you know John Mark Comer. He's written a book called Practicing the Way. I don't know, anybody read it? 1, 2, 3, 4. I just find it really helpful because what John Mark Comer does, he looked at some of the practices that we can put into our life that make sure that we keep God central in our life. Can I just encourage you? John Mark Comer isn't perfect in any way, but I think what he's written here does help us in something of that journey. So if you're interested, I've got a book here, but it's mine. Is that okay? But if you want to find the details, you can do. I just find it really, really helpful in the journey to get some of those Christian practices in place. We're looking today at Sabbath and Sabbath rest, and I find particularly from practicing the way, the whole thing they talk about Sabbath, really, really helpful. Because often we just think about Sunday. As we'll look at this morning, Sabbath means much, much more than that. So if you have a Bible, let's turn to Exodus chapter 20, in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, neither your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in the sixth day the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the seas, and all that's in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Lord, as we come to your word this morning, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you, by your Spirit, may speak into our lives. We long, Lord, to have a balance in our lives, where our lives is primarily focused on you, and everything we do is lived out in your presence and for your glory. So, Lord Jesus, be gracious enough this morning to come by your Spirit and speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. 100 million days of work are lost because of stress. The number one cause of sickness in the UK is stress. Back in 1870, Alan, you remember that, don't you? The average person slept 9.5 hours a night. Today, most people barely get 7 hours of sleep, and often less. A report came out from the National Family and Parenting Institute, and it said about this, that parents in the UK are working the longest hours in the whole of Europe. It continues, this is putting serious strain on family life in the UK. Our culture are overworked, overtired, stressed out. It seems that we feel trapped and cannot do anything about it. That's serious, isn't it? I know too well, people come up to me and say, Gary, you're a minister, you only work one day a week. I know you've said it as well, haven't you? Who are you to tell us about work-life balance? My answer is no and yes. One of the churches I was a minister of was in the southeast of England. And most of the congregation that I had in my church left home at 6 o'clock on the train in the morning, shot all the way up to London. They worked all day. They would catch the train back late evening. Sitting down with them, many of them would then get their computers open and try to finish off the work that they were doing or should have done during the day. Do you hear? Does that make sense? As a young minister, I thought, I need to catch up with everybody. I need to be the person that's actually working as hard or even harder than anyone in my church. And I did that for a time. I worked really, really long days. I pushed myself. And if you ask Joy, when was my day off? Good question. Well, I remember one occasion when the Lord had to speak to me and said, Gary, you need to work diligently and you need to work hard. But also, you need to live in a way that reflects Jesus and how Jesus wants his people to live. So, do I work more than one day a week? Yes, I do. Do I have the right to stand up here and telling you this is how the way you should do it? I think the answer is no. God spoke to me that I need to get it right. It's a lesson I continually need to learn. I keep continually getting it wrong. Is my life balanced? Yes. But no. It's so easy for us to overlook this essential commandment. For a few thousand years, the Jews celebrated Sabbath. It was central to their week life, life's week. Life orbited around it. Commerce orbited around it. Worship orbited around it. So what place does Sabbath have for us in our experience today? Christians over the centuries, in particular around the Reformation, turned the definition. They stopped using the word Sabbath, and often they would use the word the Lord's Day. I want to ask a very simple question. Is Sabbath a Saturday or a Sunday? Okay. You need to take your hands out, your pockets. Is Sabbath a Saturday or Sunday? Saturday? Sunday? Okay. Genesis 2 says this. God worked 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. What's the seventh day? What's the Saturday? Thank you. It's not the calendar. Right. It says in Exodus, work 6 days and rest on the seventh day. So they were to cease from work in the Old Testament. What day was that? Saturday. So what day is it today? Jesus dies and rises from the dead on what day of the week? Sunday. The first day of the week within the Jewish calendar is what day? It says in Acts, on the first day of the week, which is what day? The early church started to meet together, not on the Sabbath, on the Saturday, but on the Lord's Day, on a Sunday. They totally reorientated their lives, their business life, their entire week, their social structure, around the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We come together on this Lord's Day to celebrate that Jesus is alive. This principle of the Lord's Day is given for all time. Not just the Old Testament, not just the New Testament, but for us in our time too. It begins with an instruction. Verse 8, have a look at it. What's the first word? Remember. It's a time when we remember, we get together and we remember who we belong to. It's a day when we get together and we remember that we're not alone. It's a day that we remember that God has great plans for his children. It's a day when we remember what the Lord has done. It's a day when we remember what the Lord is doing. We remember what the Lord has planned for us. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, it says in Deuteronomy 5. And the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Remember that you were slaves to sin and bondage. Thanks, Nathan, for sharing what it means to come from that life into a living relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's a time to remember that God has rescued each one of us. Can I just invite you, no more than 5 seconds, just have a look at the people to your left, and to your right, and behind you. Have a look at them. Can I just say, those people you just looked at are absolute miracles. Absolute miracles. God has rescued those people. He's done something in their lives and transformed their lives, which only he can do. Remember you were slaves. Remember to keep time. Remember God rescued you. Remember when you break bread of Jesus' sacrifice for you. But it carries on. Remember to keep the Sabbath day. Sabbath. Cease from work. Just rest. Just to be. One day when you just stop. When you just rest again. You take a deep breath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, different, set apart. Amazing, really, because that word holy is the most frequent word that describes the attributes of God. Work 6 days a week, but keep one day holy, set apart for me. How do we know that we're doing that? Can I just say, if your 7 days look like the same each day, you're breaking this commandment. If your seventh day is different from the other six, maybe you're beginning to put this commandment into practice. But this commandment speaks to us about rest, about focusing on God. But this first part of the commandment also has a lot to talk about work. 6 days shall you work. Now, I know there are times when people cannot work because of health and because they can't find a job. And I know, looking around and talking with different people over the last few months, people work in different ways. For those who are students, they're studying. For those who are parents or grandparents, sometimes you're caring for your grandchildren. For some, we're carers. For some, their health prevents them from working, and every day is a day of work for things in their life. Some work in offices. Some work in factories. Some work on building sites too. But there is a danger here that work is all that we live for. I have friends and colleagues, and often they work for American companies. Not all American companies like it. But the company pays them well. But the company owns them. There's a temptation for all of us to become workaholics. We find our identity in our work. One of the things I have been doing, if speaking to one or two of you, ask you, what is your job? And the reason I ask you, what is your job, is because most of us identify ourselves by what we do and not who we are. Eugene Peterson puts it this way, nothing less than a command as the power to defeat the self-perpetuating circle of faithless, graceless business. The first commandment is to do what? To worship who? God only. I think this commandment helps us to put this in perspective, to make sure that our God doesn't become our job. The fourth commandment keeps us from worshipping it. But look at verse 10 with me for a moment. Can you do that? This is really comprehensive. Neither you, nor your sons, your daughter, your male or female servants, or your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. No one is to do this. Actually, this includes everybody to have the blessing of God in their lives. But this is really revolutionary. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that in them, but he rested on the seventh day. There the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. No other nation had this time off. The Babylonians didn't, the Assyrians didn't, the Egyptians didn't. Yet through this commandment, God says, this is a wonderful gift I want to give to you. This is where it's revolutionary. Even your slaves get a day off. Now, in this culture, at this time, slaves had no rights. They were nobody. What God is speaking into here is that actually our lives should be so revolutionary different that people take notice of it. Sabbath, the Lord's Day, should never ever become a burden. It should be a fantastic gift from God. For you and for me, as the people of God, we're to keep it holy, keep it different, set it aside. But this is foundational. If you have a Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 2 with me. Because what we're looking at here about the Lord's Day isn't just about a Jewish practice. It's something that God set in the foundation of the world. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. It's good, God says. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's very good. It's perfect. And on the seventh day, God rested and delighted in all that he had done. A theological term some of you will recognize would be it's a creation ordinance. In other words, from the start of the world, when God brought it into being, he set up a rhythm that he himself followed, that you and I are asked to follow too. That's why Jesus said, the Sabbath day was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So you and I are being asked here to have and enjoy this amazing blessing of God, to do what God did, and to enjoy what God had done. Ever wondered why 7 days a week? Okay. Why do we have 24 hours a day? Any ideas? That's it. The sun rotates, right? The earth rotates. Why do we have 365 days a year? The earth goes round the sun. It's just the natural order of things, isn't it? This is the way that God's put things into place. So why do we have 7 days? The answer is really simple. God says that's the best thing for you. That's the best thing for me. By the way, humankind over history have tried to think we know better than God. In the French Revolution, they set a 10-day week. They soon had to change that. The Soviet Union in the 1920s tried it again, and it didn't work. What God is inviting us here to do is to get into a rhythm of being and a rhythm of life which God does himself. And he invites us to join that rhythm of life with him. You see, It's an instruction. It's comprehensive. It's revolutionary. It's foundational. But let's see what Jesus says about it. The first thing we need to understand is that Jesus doesn't come along and abolish the law, but he comes along and he does what? Fulfills it. Jesus says in Matthew 5:17, "I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them." So Jesus comes without sin, God becomes man, lives a perfect life in full obedience to the entire law. He goes to the cross. He becomes a substitute for us. He suffers and dies in our place for our sins. He rises from death on the Sunday, and Jesus gives us his righteousness. The commandments were to show us our sin, but also the commandments were given to reveal the Saviour to us. Jesus doesn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So what's the purpose of the Lord's Day? I think I can sum it up in three words. Stop, rest, and delight. Stop, rest, and delight. That's what God did in creation, didn't he? He stopped from creating. He rested on it, and he delighted in all that he had made. He rested a recreation. It's a wonderful gift from God. It's also for remembrance and rejoicing. We are resurrected people. Remember, we just looked at what day did Jesus rise from the dead? Sunday. This is Resurrection Day. We should be celebrating every single Sunday that Jesus is alive. We stop, we think about the Lord, remember that he's in control. In Leviticus chapter 23, God instructed the Israelites to proclaim certain feasts to become holy convocations, days which we suspend, where people get together, worship in fellowship together. In Hebrews, we're told this: do not be giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. This is something that we do together as the people of God. We come together. We remember God together. We encourage each other together. We are pilgrims on a journey together to stop, to rest, and to delight in who God is. We congregate. We celebrate that Jesus is alive. We communicate. We preach. We commemorate. We stop and we break bread. We concentrate. We offer our hearts to the Lord and we contemplate. We think about heaven. I quite like the way Hebrews put it, by the way. Sabbath is a shadow of what heaven is like. Is that what your Sabbath's like? Your Lord's Day? It's just a reflection of what heaven's going to be like. Wow. Have a quick look around again at the people in this congregation. Have a quick look at them. It's great being with that group of people, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah, I'm glad about that. Because believe it or not, for eternity, you're going to spend the rest of eternity with those people you just look like. That's amazing. It's creation ordinance. It's just not a command by God. It was set in the foundations of the whole earth. What are the practices of the Lord's Day? I think one of the things we have to do is avoid legalism. Stop being like the Pharisees. The Jews had 39 categories of Sabbath prohibitions. No cooking, no washing, no sowing, no planting, no reaping, no burning, no extinguishing, and fires, and no carrying. So one of the laws, if you look at the book of laws they put together, was that you could carry a baby. So you're okay, Nathan. It's not work. But if the baby is carrying a stone, it is working. So you're working today. Or if electricity, it's forbidden to turn on a light on or off in the home because you can't extinguish a fire. For this reason, one should, as one of the Pharisees have written down, should ensure all your lights are turned on before the Sabbath day. This even relates to toilet paper, by the way. As one Pharisee put it, it's forbidden to tear the perforated line to separate toilet paper or paper towels. So what you need to do the day before, tear the papers apart, put them, because if you do, you're breaking Sabbath law. I wasn't brought up in a Christian family, but I know Joy was. Joy was brought up in Hale in Cornwall. Beautiful place of the world, isn't it? But I do know from Joy, on a Sunday, when it's really hot outside, St. Ives is just down the road, you can go and you can walk, but you couldn't buy an ice cream, and you couldn't go out playing games. Is that right? Some of you remember that? It's so easy, isn't it? We become legalistic of what we can do. Now, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home, but I was told as a very young lad, when you go to church on a Sunday, you never wear shorts. Do you remember that? Because you wouldn't wear shorts if you went into the very presence of the Queen. That's what I was told in Sunday school. So how dare you wear shorts when you're coming in front of the King of Kings? We laugh about these things. But they become very legalistic very, very quickly. Is that what this is all about? The things that we cannot do? Should we get a list of CBC, the things you're allowed to do on the Lord's Day and the things you cannot do? I think we also need to avoid judgmentalism. Have a look at Romans chapter 14 with me a minute. Romans 14. What does it say in verse 5 and 6? One person considers one day more sacred than the other. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. So you had in this church people from Jewish backgrounds, people from Gentile backgrounds, and they see it differently. What's the most important thing here is don't be judgmental of one another. Colossians 2, put it this way, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or what you drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon, celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. Reality, however, is found in Christ. So is the Lord's Day binding on all Christians? When I was beginning to look at these series a few months ago in preparation, I went through and I had a look at those Old Testament commands, and I spent quite a lot of time trying to find out what does Jesus say and what does the New Testament say about them in the New Testament. The fourth commandment that we're looking at today is the only commandment that the New Testament doesn't talk about. It talks about all the others. So is it binding or not? I think what God is saying here in Scripture. It's important who we worship. Worship only God, no other idols. More important than when we worship. So is it binding? Is it a law? No. But it is good practice. It's also the way that God puts things into place. There's a difference in what the words I've just said there. Does that make sense? Is it a law? No. But what God's put into place here is good practice for you and I as believers of the Lord Jesus. He set it right at the creation of the world. He does say to us, don't give up. Keep worshipping together. And I want you to see Sabbath not as a burden, but as a joy as you come to celebrate the risen Lord Jesus. By the way, Jesus never says the Sabbath is wrong. He never says to the Pharisees, you've got it wrong. He's never said Sabbath is finished. He did challenge them how you view Sabbath. What did Jesus do? He worshipped on the Sabbath. He taught. He did evangelism. He had fellowship. He shared meals. He even stood up for his disciples who went to pick corn on the Sabbath. He heals people on the Sabbath. And in the early church, we hear about Paul going into the synagogue and preaching and teaching. Is it a law? No. Is it good for you and I as the people of God to come together to celebrate that Jesus is alive one day a week? It certainly is. It's good for us as individuals. It's good for us as the people of God. What are the Lord's Day's killers? I think here are some of them. I think a poor work ethic kills us. I know it's really hard, Nath, isn't it? When you had a busy week on a Sunday afternoon, not just to lift that computer lid and have a look at those emails. What a Sabbath killer is, I think it's religious rules. When we see Sabbath as something we've got to do rather than this is a gift from God. For some, if you work with your mind during the week, your Sabbath may well involve something to do with your hands. If you're like me, who sit down in a dark room sometimes and just read books and type away, actually a Sabbath rest sometimes is going out into the garden and digging over the soil and celebrating all that God has done. But if you're a gardener in this room, the best thing you could do is not to pick up anything with your hands, but to sit down, to rest your body, and to use your mind. To read, to think, to reflect. Resting from work instead of resting for your work. I think that's what these laws are given for us, talking about the Lord's Day. This is the one commandment that Jesus and the New Testament believers turned on its head. This is a different day, not Sunday, not a Saturday, but a Sunday. A day to stop, to rest, and a day to delight in God. Can I just encourage you, those of you who is feeling that work is overwhelming, you're the only people in this room that can stop the cycle that you're on. And you're going to have to make a determination this morning to step off, to concentrate on God again, to recognize that He's the Lord of Lords, and to rest in Him again. Do ministers work one day a week? David? No. Do I have the right to tell you because I've got it all right? No. I'm on the same journey, exactly the same as you, of learning that creation ordinance of getting the rhythm of my life back together again. Wouldn't it be amazing that the people that you work with watch your lives in such a way that because you work hard during those other days and see what you do on a Sunday, that they start to ask you a question, why? By the way, Acts chapter 2. That's what happened, isn't it? The believers met together, they broke bread, they listened to the apostles' teaching, they shared life together. And people asked them, who are you? Why? At the end of Acts 2, 3,000 believers were added to the church that day. Maybe our lives can speak an amazing way if we get our lives into the pattern that God wants us to have. Can I invite you just to close your eyes this morning? What's your past week been like? Contemplating the future week, what's this week like? Where is God going to become Lord in your life in those everyday situations? How's that going to be worked out for you? Maybe you're going to need to ask the Lord Jesus in the quietness to ask by His Holy Spirit to give you the ability to put the phone down, to turn it off, close the computer. For some of you, you're going to have to overcome that Messiah complex. I am needed. I must do this. Maybe in the quietness. If that's true for you, to ask the Lord Jesus just to help you this week. Lord Jesus, I thank you. In this particular situation, it isn't a command and a law that you tell us we need to keep. This is an invitation into a life and a rhythm that you yourself live by. Lord, please help us and forgive us when we feel that we can do things in our own strength and we go against your rhythm and somehow we think we can just carry on working through. Father, I pray for those at the moment who just feel overwhelmed with work and life pressure. I pray that today may be a special gift of the Lord's Day for them when they stop and they rest and they contemplate you again and adore who you are. Please, Lord, break through. And for each of us, Lord, please keep teaching us that lesson again to walk in the way of the Lord Jesus and live the way He did. Lord, we give ourselves to you, the one who created the world, the one who came and died on the cross. We worship you, Lord, for who you are, for what you've done. In His name we pray. Amen. As the group come up to lead us in worship, can I just encourage you, you know, those slips you filled in. All right, prayer. Alan's going to be at the back, and there's going to be a basket. Can I invite you, please put those in. And if you're able this evening, as the people of God, we come together and we pray for our world and pray for those things.